What's good?
What's up, bro?
Yeah, we're back.
Yeah, so, kind of. Yeah, we're here. My body's finally recovered, I think. So, yeah.
And who am I? I am Sky. I'm Fly, straight out of the Southwest ATL, where the players will. Currently in the Southwest, not even Southwest, Southern California, in the Wild Wild West. I'm best and fresh, and I'm with who?
What's up, world? It's your girl Selves, VA all day, two up, two down. Visiting the parentals as I get my life together. But yeah, it's pretty and it's nice outside, and the view is good, and the air is fresh. So yeah, not so bad.
And who are we? We're Shea Butter FC, a podcast featuring two black women's perspective on soccer, football, and everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning that'll moisturize your skin
and lay your edges
and deepen your love for all things black women.
And so, I guess today, what are we talking about?
Well, we got a lot to talk about. Obviously, the NWSL will be back for one weekend before the international break, but a very important weekend as we only have 4 match days left, and I believe we'll go over in a minute, but like 6 points separates 1 through 8 or something like that. So, it's fun times in the league.
And then I guess we'll talk about who potentially could be rookie of the year. Yes. The U.S. Women's National Team roster drop. And then what the fuck? Who is the next coach? Because we didn't talk about that on purpose.
Yeah.
In the last episode.
It's time. It's probably time.
But it's time to talk about it. And then I guess updates.
Updates on global soccer. Obviously, there's been a lot happening with the World Cup and since the World Cup. And so, I think since the last time we recorded, some things have happened. So just giving people updates on that, in solidarity. So yeah.
And hits and roofs, and then, yeah, that's it. Okay. So then, let's start. Yes, there were 4 match days, and because the NWSL is bootleg, there's going to be 1 and then an international break.
Yeah. So what's happened is they played, through match day 18, had a weekend off or week off for a Challenge Cup. They will come back this weekend. And then they will go away again the following weekend for an international break. Oh, excuse me. Come back for the last 3 games and start the playoffs. There's an international break after the round of what we'll call it quarterfinals, I guess, of the playoffs. The first week. There's international break, then there's the semis, then there's the finals. It's a very convoluted schedule. As I was looking at it, I was like, oh, this is weird. I'm sorry, there's a dog that just likes to yap outside my door. But outside my window. But yeah, it's chaos, truly. The NWSL is living up to its moniker. Yeah, and I guess we should give people the games this weekend. So like we said, everybody's playing. Inshallah, all the weather will be sort of out of the way by then. But our Friday game is going to be Rossing and Houston in Louisville. The slew of Saturday games is going to be, it's a big one, it's Washington at Gotham on Saturday afternoon. You have San Diego hosting Kansas City Current. And then you have the second leg of the Cascadia rivalry as the NWSL After Dark game for Saturday. At 7:30, and then on Sunday you have Chicago Red Stars hosting Angel City, and North Carolina goes to Orlando. So those are the games this weekend, like I said, before we go into that international break. So with all that information, any predictions whatsoever about what's going to happen the last 4 weeks?
I think there are teams that are in the playoffs that are going to fall out the playoffs, because a lot of these top teams are about to play each other and beat each other up. And then 1 or 2, I don't think 3, or 2 teams not in the playoffs could, if they just went out, could get their asses into the playoffs. It's probably going to go to the end, the last day, mm-hmm. and probably not going to be just on games 1. It's going to be like some tiebreakers.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think goal differential will definitely come into play, which flavors a team like, say, Portland. Who has a pretty large one, despite leading goals lately. And that's why the beginning of the season matters, right? You can sort of cushion your goal differential. I tend to agree. I think at least 1 team will fall out and 1 team will get in, if not 2. I don't see it being more than two. I keep circling match day 21 because as of now, every team in the top six plays each other and every team outside of it plays each other. So literally everybody can't get points. So I think that's sort of the day that everything flips.
You can't MLS it into Magic. Yeah, you can't Messi your way into a final.
There aren't enough points to be shared. So I think, yes, I think if there were ever a year where it's going to flip, this is probably the year, especially with the World Cup, Challenge Cup, you know, people have very tired legs and things like that. People will be going on international duty and coming back. So people have to fly long distances and everything else. It's really chaotic. And I think the cohesion of maybe a team or two at the top starts to wane toward the end of the season. I think you get tired legs. I think you have depth issues. I think you have injury issues, right? This is also presuming everybody's healthy, right? Like Portland's got to play without Sophia Smith for Cascadia, the rivalry, right? So it really just, there's so many factors. I think if ever there's going to be a year of true chaos, it's this year. And for the first time, the last match day 22, it's a decision day. Every game's at the same time.
Yeah, so it's going to be a hot mess. Oh, yeah. Also, you have, even in the playoffs, because they have this random-ass international window, like, that's going to be another level of mess.
Mm-hmm. Because what do you do, right? What rosters do you put out? How do you rotate? It's the play. Like, it's going to be, choices were made.
And it was literally in the middle of, like, qualifying windows. So you got to let these players go. So you can't go, well, it's the playoffs. Well, this is for the freaking Olympics. So, or World Cup, depending on where you are. So, right. Yeah, you got to let the players go. You can't hold them. So this is a mess. And we're still going to have to figure this shit out next year and do better.
Yeah. And I mean, some of that will go away. I mean, obviously, I don't think we'll talk too much about it. But we did mention that part of the scheduling chaos was the Challenge Cup. We learned earlier this year that this, or sorry, just a couple of weeks ago actually, that this is the last of the Challenge Cup as it's currently I'm sorry, Sippy Cup of Life, as it currently exists. So
you Sippy Cup your life in the beginning of the season. So actually in the beginning of the season, expect people's getting their heads knocked off because you're first game, your first few games, I think, are counting towards the Challenge Cup, whatever the fuck is happening.
I don't think they're doing a challenge. Like, I don't know what competition they're doing, but the Challenge Cup itself is going away. So I don't know if they're replacing it with something. I think they have an eye toward more, like, Confederation, so CONCACAF stuff, but I don't know where CONCACAF is in that process as well, or if we're going to bring in, say, lower league soccer, that would also be a true cup. Competition. So I think they have ways of doing it and the money's been pledged, so I don't know exactly how they're gonna disperse that going forward.
Or you could do like you can see them copying the WNBA and doing something the equivalent of
commissioner's cup. Yeah,
and so who you play within your region, whatever the hell, because what it'd be 14 teams, you then whatever points to whatever have some game, whatever the hell. I don't know.
Yeah, because it was schedule congestion, right? Because the fear is with the two extra teams coming next year, they just won't have time, and it's not an even number anymore.
Right, and then people aren't even putting their best players out. So, yeah, we're not doing that.
Well, and it's been a great chance, I think. One of the upsides is it's been a really good chance for some players to really showcase their talent who wouldn't necessarily get playing time during the regular season. But you have injuries. Obviously, people are not putting out their best 11 in those circumstances. It can help your depth. It can also hurt your depth. Mm-hmm. It's just really, I think that there is room, and this is soccer, and you should have a cup competition. But I think we need to rethink what that looks like and who we're involving and how we spread out those matches.
The Challenge Cup needs to be modernized for you're not in a pandemic. Well, my bad. You are in a pandemic. Go get your vaccine.
Yeah, please.
Go get your 23, 24 vaccine. They out now. But you are in a pandemic, but you need to realize nobody cares. So what are you going to do to adjust for modern times? A cup. Acknowledge lower league soccer. We will talk about that. You'd have to actually acknowledge the lower leagues because there's multiple women's ones out here. That developed your players.
Very much so.
Like Alyssa Thompson then magically just become great. She's been playing semi-pro for a while. So, you know, you could do that. And actually, that would be wild. That would, because some of them teams.
I would be really in favor of doing something like an FA Cup, a Conti Cup.
Yeah.
you know, where you are mixing competitions, mixing leagues. Even on the men's side, they do it, right? You have the Lamar Hunt Open Cup.
Yes, give me a Liga Meki Femenil versus...
Well, that's a CONCACAF. That's a CONCACAF World Cup, and I'd also very much be in favor of that as well.
Or do this with the league, the cup they played, Liga Meki against MLS. Give me NWSL versus...
Yeah.
Liga Meki Femenil, we figure it out. Let's go battle each other, kill each other. Let's go.
Yeah, I think that could be a possibility, for sure, and just to foster that relationship. Because I'm telling you right now, if you were the NWSL, I would lock that relationship up because Primera or Liga F, whatever we want to call it, which just we'll talk about some of everything that's been happening in Spain. But they're starting very much to make connections with the Mexico. In terms of league play and clubs having those relationships. Obviously, Real Madrid and Barcelona just came to Mexico to play America and Tigres. So, yeah, I would strongly recommend that the NWSL tighten that up.
They need to
because you have a geographical advantage, but you're about to lose all of it.
Yeah, you need to do that. So, yeah. But anywho.
I fail to predict any games at this point. I don't, the NWSL is just chaotic. Like I don't know week to week what's gonna happen. I imagine what it looks like now is not what it's gonna look like at the end.
Yeah.
I think just giving people reference, right now San Diego is in first with 30 points, Portland is in second with 29, North Carolina is in third with 28, Lorraine and Gotham are tied on points at 27, and Washington is tied is sitting in sixth at 26, and just outside are Louisville and Angel City, both tied on 24 points. Orlando with 22, Houston with 20, Chicago with 20. Wow. And Kansas City with 19. I didn't realize Chicago.
Well, everybody's still here. So, yeah.
Yeah, everybody can still. There's literally scenarios where I think it's Allison, Gail, shout out for having the simulator, which is also incredibly chaotic. But you can go on her page, on her Twitter. I'm still saying Twitter. F that man. You can go on her Twitter page, and there's a link to that simulator where you can run each game for the next four match days with the outcomes and see where people end up on the chart. Every team can still win the Shield.
Yep.
Every team can still fall out of the playoffs.
Yep.
That's where we are. There's never been this much parity in the NWSL ever.
Yeah, is this gonna get worse because we got international dates? People get hurt at international dates. Mm-hmm. And then you got all this mess. And then the playoffs will be impacted because of international dates. This is a hot-ass mess, but yes.
I can't believe they have an international window in the middle of the playoffs.
That is hilarious.
It's bananas to me.
That is going to cause problems. I cannot wait. It's going to be peak chaos. Let's go, Angel City.
Somebody's self-esteem going to be hurt because we playing Columbia. Linda going to cook somebody up. They're not going to feel good about themselves. And like, what are we doing?
Yes, this is a hot mess, but it's so NWSL. It wouldn't be any other way.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly, listen, I don't, for a myriad of reasons, the best league in the world conversation is still league to me, but I don't think there's any other league with this much parity.
Yeah.
Like, there's no other league where you would get this going into the final four matches of the season.
Where it's going to be screens everywhere. Like, the last match day is going to be fucking bananas.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you most of the table can compete.
Almost definitely. There's not a bad team.
Yeah.
This year. And there's not a dominant team this year. And so I think the table very much reflects that, right?
Yeah. And what's crazy is do you get the buys this year still? Even people with buys, in theory.
Yeah, one and two still get the bye week.
But you could lose. One and two could lose their first game.
Easily.
That's why, I mean, one and two very well could be like, we got a bye, but then you look up and go, oh, shit.
Right. Anybody can beat anyone. Like, this isn't... There's no dominant team, right? Because I think for a while people were like, oh, it could be Portland or it could be North Carolina. But for as much as Portland scores, they concede.
Right.
And North Carolina, I think, plays a very different style of soccer, which I very much enjoy. Their possession-based football. Shout out to them and being able to fit a system to the players they have. But they can be had. Like, I saw them lose to Angel City, right? I've seen them lose games they probably should have won. Or, you know, Gotham coming back to draw that game last time they played.
Right.
Two different times, right? They had a two-goal lead and they lost it. And in theory, Gotham probably could have won that game. So could have North Carolina. Yeah. Like, that game was just truly chaotic. I have no real predictions. Like, I have no real idea of what this is going to look like. I think I might. I'm a little nervous to say it just because nothing is going to script. The writers are definitely on strike. Like, nothing's going to script. The writers are definitely on strike. So,
yeah.
But it makes for great football, and it makes for must-see TV. So everybody will be tuned in this weekend.
I'll say this. I think the final will have two unexpected teams.
Yeah, I can see that. It might be one of those years where you're like, who would have predicted this at the beginning of
The people are like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, because the playoffs are also a bit of chance, right? Like, the Shield, and even this year with the Shield, I'm like, normally, oh, the Shield's the best indicator, but I'm like, I don't know if the best team's going to win the Shield this year.
Right.
I think the Shield is more of just an endurance award.
Yeah.
This year.
Congratulations for surviving the season. And right, you survived. You very well could lose your playoff game and be at home. So, yeah, right. We'll see what happens. That is crazy that there is a international break in the middle of the playoffs.
Yeah, that one was like, I was looking at the schedule, I was like, wait. Ooh.
I think I thought that, and I was like, why are these later games happening?
Right.
A lot of them. And then I'm like, oh my God, that's wild. That's crazy. And yeah, your favorite player on somebody's team is going to be off the, woo, that's going to be a mess. Well,
yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Like, it's like the Challenge Cup prepared your team for the playoffs. Anywho.
Hopefully. We'll see.
I guess rookie of the year.
Obviously we have season-ending awards that'll be coming up sooner rather than later. But I think the big one in terms of, well, this is going to be really hard to decide, is that rookie of the year competition. So to me, it's a three-person race at this point. And they've all won it. Rookie of the month. So for me, it's between the God. Your name can't be Messiah Bright and not Ball. Like, come on, right. Your name's Messiah.
Y'all was looking for Messi, and Messi was already here.
Messi was already there, baby. So Messiah Bright, obviously Alyssa Thompson, coming in with the weight of being the number one pick, and I think Jenna Nicewalker's had a hell of a year.
Yes,
playing a lot of it out of position. So yeah, I think, and again, they've all won Rookie of the Month. They're all very good. I think the future of the U.S. in terms of that is very bright. But yeah, I think for me right now, today, just because I think awards tend to favor goal scorers, mm-hmm. I'd probably say it's Messiah.
Yeah, Messiah probably will win it.
But we have four games left, and all three of them could make the playoffs.
Yes.
And they all play each. I think Orlando and Gotham are done, and obviously Gotham and Angel City, but obviously Orlando... And we'll they have a really big game on the second. Yes,
yeah.
In Los Angeles. So, yeah, I don't know. Do you have a case for your girl?
It will depend. So, because Alyssa still looks like she was looking like she was still recovering. It's a 2-week break. We're going to see what she looked like on Sunday. But if Alyssa can go score, she will climb back up. So yeah, I honestly think it's probably between Messiah and Alyssa, because people aren't considering the fact that Jenna is playing out of position. Because they ain't got no backs back there. But it's probably going to come down to what they all look like at the end of the year. Who can kick balls into the net? Who can stun on people? If whoever's doing backflips, doing hat tricks, hey. And it could get decided, honestly, on the game on October 2nd.
That's what I'm wondering. Like, I think that's a really big matchup. I think those are the last two that play each other. I think everybody else has played each other already. And I honestly think people aren't going to be able to decide to the last match day. Like, I think those players are going to have an impact literally through the last game of the season.
Right.
So, yeah, but I think it's really thrilling. I don't think we've had a rookie of the year race quite this good in a while.
Yeah.
I think it's dope. I mean, two out of three of them are black girls, like, obviously. And shout out to Nice Wonger. I think she's real nice with it. No pun there. I think she's a very good player. I think she's a very good player. I think, and they're all out of hotbeds, right? Like, two of them are out of Los Angeles. One of them's out of the Dallas area. So, like, those hotbeds of women's soccer. I'm interested to see. I'm interested to see who comes out with that award, but I do think it's one of those three. But it's been really awesome watching all three of those rookies who were drafted in very different positions thrive. And yeah, it can't be stated enough. There's 11 teams that got it wrong. There's 11 teams that got it wrong.
That's why I would do away with the draft, but then y'all got to be able to scout and shit.
You know how I feel, but yes.
But y'all got to scout, and then y'all don't be talking about, again, like how Jenna and even Alyssa got recruited, and like the lower leagues matter. Like lower league soccer matters, semi-pro soccer, they matter because they help develop players. As the same thing with Messiah was playing in academy and played futsal. So like you got to talk about beyond just college or high school, because U.S. soccer is complicated.
Oh yeah, and as we found out today, and that's a heck of a segue. Since you mentioned our favorite federation.
Oh, they got a cool? You said they were on an apology tour.
Yes and no.
You said they're on an apology tour.
The Jodeci apology tour, yes.
Please.
Little Jodeci.
Please don't go play for another country.
Little Carl Thomas, like just really begging.
We're sorry.
Drew Hill, a lot of begging.
Please.
Boyz II Men on Bended Knee is like the marquee song. So sorry. Anyway, tune into NWSL. Go to games. Hashtag go to games if you can. Shout out to the tall ones. The U.S. U.S. soccer. So the U.S. does have friendlies next week. In the States.
Cincinnati's
one. Chicago, Cincinnati. Thank you. It is the farewell. These are the farewell games for both Julie Ertz, which is the one on the 21st.
Yes.
And Megan Rapinoe on the 24th. But this roster has 27 players.
Oh, you can have more than 23?
You can. They will only suit up 23, obviously, each match. But yeah, you can call in more than 23 or 24 players.
Oh, for real? Who knew? What?
And while contractually U.S. soccer is obligated to call in, essentially the people who played in the World Cup, unless they're injured, meaning Chrissy Mewis and Sophia Smith are not called up because they're both out at the moment with injury, they are contractually obligated to call up those players. They can also call in other players, which they did. Sky, who did they call in?
They called it. I mean, which way do we go?
I mean, it's a few names.
There was a Casey Krueger just wildly appeared on the roster.
Excuse you, August player of the month, Casey Krueger. Or player of the week, sorry. Last player of the week, Casey Krueger.
Oh, they called up a Casey Krueger who's the reason why Chicago is still a playoff race, because Casey Krueger's been serving doms and defending her.
Yeah, she even scored goals, assisting, scoring goals, defending for her life. Like, just. Still arguably the best, or certainly one of the best 1v1 defenders we have.
We act like we remembered Sam Coffey was alive.
Sam Coffey is good at football. Like, maybe we gave up on her a little too quick.
We realized that it's not just Alex Morgan down there.
The young guy, Jane Shaw. This is Jane Shaw's first call-up, so congratulations to her. Sorry, it's her first senior national team call-up.
Yes.
So congratulations to her. But I would argue in terms of goal scoring and creation for San Diego, she is the beginning, middle, and end right now.
Yes.
So I can see why Casey was like, I'm not letting you go for that youth national team call up. Because, to me, she is the offense for San Diego right now.
But I guess the extra. Oh, for real? We got a clue? Me official. Final.
So first of all, congratulations to me official, who I think we have made our feelings very known on this show. Should have been called in our opinion.
Long time ago.
I think we'll end up being one of the best nines in the game.
Yes.
But it is not lost on me that she got a call up once she went to Chelsea.
Was it some bullshit?
So if you don't know, I don't know if we mentioned this last time we record. Me official is now a member of Chelsea. Along with Katarina Macario, Ashley Lawrence.
We didn't list the whole Rolodex.
But okay, so me official made a move to Chelsea from Tigres. Once that happened, played in their first scrimmage and did well.
Yeah.
Didn't score, but did really well, I think. She will not struggle in the WSL. But me official gets a move to Chelsea, and all of a sudden is back in the national team. Pitcher, despite being a prolific goal scorer.
Yes.
For, I mean, Tigres is a big enough club for Barcelona and Real Madrid to play in.
Right, right.
I don't like that.
Yeah, that was bullshit.
And you're not beating the xenophobia charges, U.S. Right, right. You're not beating them.
And I'm like, is it that, or is it because Twyla was trying to call, you know, Calder?
Yeah.
Or, you know, but honestly, I'm like, what is this? Is this apology? Because, like, it made no sense, because literally she scored goals. She didn't score just penalties, like some people. She was scoring in run play.
She wasn't the penalty taker. I think she only took, like, one.
She took penalties very late. She had already had 40-something damn goals. She scored all kind of goals. I ain't seen no non-scored kind of goals. She was scoring from all kind of angles all these damn games. After a certain man who no longer works there said that she needed to score more in games. So she scored not usually each game. She was scoring 2 goals and assisting. The fuck?
There's a very real point where she was one of the top goal scorers in the world.
Yes.
It wasn't just... It was in the world. Like, she was top 5 in the world.
But, like, understand, Chelsea went after her because she literally did crazy shit. Like, crazy goals. Like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. And we didn't call her in? My bad. Y'all didn't call her in.
Right.
And then y'all didn't have no trophies. Yeah, that's why it went home early. But go ahead.
They don't got no award for that.
They ain't got no award for that.
Yeah, I again, for me, that just did not sit right with my spirit. And I know I wasn't the only one that felt that way. But I am glad that she is being called in. I know Twyla talked about, particularly with her and Jaden, calling them in, not just for their skill. Obviously, yes, they consider them very high potential, but just getting them acclimated to the environment. My guess is with the eye toward the Olympics and beyond, really getting them acclimated to how U.S. camps work and things of that nature. And I think this roster is important. I think the October roster will tell us a lot more because, again, the CBA doesn't require anybody to be called in, quote unquote, after this camp. So that's very much okay. I get to choose. And it's based on the playoffs and some other things that are happening. And we're playing 2 World Cup opponents in these windows, right? You're playing South Africa. And you're playing South Africa, who got as far as the U.S. did. And then you're playing Colombia, who got further.
Whoop.
So it's just in case people wanted to play that card, we don't play anybody anymore. And the best player on the pitch in October will be for Colombia.
Yep.
And that's with Sofia there.
Yep.
The best player on the pitch in October will be playing for Colombia. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. I think they're good tests. I think, obviously, U.S. soccer has to walk this fine line of they're trying to hire a coach. I think after the men's press conference yesterday, Croker said they're looking at December to hire a women's coach, which is a tight, tight turnaround.
Oh, we wilded. Olympics, oh, okay.
The Olympics are, you know, this coming summer. Let me get the, you know what? I should know because I'm supposed to be going to the Olympics. I have tickets. The Olympics are, oh, they're late, so they start end of July.
Oh, that's gonna be
so July 26th, so smack dab in the middle of the NWSL season again.
Of course, there's no other way.
A shorter time period, right? Because Olympics are usually about
2 weeks,
20, like 3 days, something like that.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going way farther than that, like 16, 17 days, something like that. So yeah, end of July. So they start on the 26th of July and end on the 11th of August, 2024. Obviously, they're mostly in Paris, France, but around France as well. Yeah, and it's going to be stiff competition, right? And the qualifications are funky. You have Jamaica and Canada playing later this month. Actually, next weekend. Sorry. Home and home for the right to play in the Olympics.
Yeah.
You have Scotland and England in the same group, but if England doesn't finish first, Great Britain doesn't go to the Olympics. It's very fluky. So, yeah, this is stiff competition, right? Obviously, Brazil, I think they automatically qualified, but Marta wants a trophy.
Right.
France obviously wants to win something at home, and they weren't able to do that for the World Cup, but now they have a better coach. And I think they showed themselves well in the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's going to be like we can't mess around with this. Like, yep. People want hardware. And so if the Olympics is what they get, the Olympics is what they get. And so these teams are coming, and you only get 18 spots. You're down 5 extra players unless they're going to open it back up, which I doubt.
Yeah,
so you're talking about 18 players. How So that coach has to make that decision, the harder decision, which is the Olympics.
Yep, and they got to be balling.
I don't know where to begin in terms of how do you hire a person that can do both? So short-term, long-term.
So what
are we looking for?
Okay, so this is what I was looking for. So if you've been watching, so whoever the next coach, they had to be watching what was happening with the U.S. Women's National Team for the last 4 years and been like, I could do better, and had already been making their PowerPoint. Because what I will want to see in the next coach is their ability to adapt. Because adapting across, I think we're at a point in the women's game, finally, where you can't just ask players to be the best that they can be and study film and blah, blah, blah. You as a coach have to coach. You can't try to rely on data solely. You visually have to see what's going on, be able to adapt, understand your roster. In the case on the international level, make changes on the fly.
In game,
you have to be able to game plan pregame, but you have to in game be able to adapt and in adapt in the middle of the game. At times too. Because like we saw what in the World Cup, you know, a team like Japan make a bad mistake. It didn't, and they waited till the next half to change. You're going to have to be able to make pivots. Like, you might have to substitute at 35th minute.
Think that'll be interesting, right? And I think that's true in the men's game, too, the fear of early subs.
Right.
I wonder if that'll change, though, in football.
I also would say you'd have to be able to understand visually what you're seeing, because a lot of people have been using data. You can't be in your iPad, Surface Pro, whatever the hell. You're going to have to be – you got to understand – you can use it as a –
It's a helpful tool.
Yeah, but you got to know what you're looking at and be able to make changes. So coaches are going to have to coach. It's like my thing, I argue with the NFL all the time. You can't just hire a coach out of college if they don't then take it the next step to be on a professional level to ingest film and understand what they're seeing and making stuff on the fly. Same thing with the coach in this standpoint. You can't get a father to the daughter, the sister to the homie. You got to get an actual fucking coach to be able to, you know, make changes. They also need to be able to understand the talent pool. And I think one thing I haven't even said this, because our talent pool is so freaking dynamic and vast, you got to be above your ego and your typical style of play and be ready to adapt and adjust so that you can bring the best out of the players that you get, you know? I'm trying to put somebody into my system and force the system. That's what cost us the World Cup. Damn near almost cost us a medal in the Olympics, right? So you have to be able to adjust and adapt depending on what you have. And beyond that, they got to be comfortable that it's no longer a club team. So you're an actual national team. So you're going to have to adapt. So you need a system that's flexible. Whoever has to understand youth talent and veteran talent. And then figure out what you're doing to the Olympics, because you need to get youth experience, because we didn't do that.
Multiple
occasions, and then we took people to the World Cup and we didn't freaking play them, so they didn't get tournament time and experience on the field. Right. So we got to figure that out in this Olympics in preparation for the World Cup. So
I agree. I think in-game adaptability is a very big one. I think a lot of coaches struggle with that, actually, on men's and women's. But I think that is imperative. I think for me, I want a coach who, A, can ask the question, what is our culture, and set it. I think the U.S. is at a crossroads on the women's side, where truly, not even talking about like the societal issues of it, because obviously the people who play on the women's team always have to juggle more than one thing. I'm talking about from a footballing perspective. What is our culture? How do we want to play soccer? Not to bite the recap show, but how are we going to score goals? Like, what's the plan? What is our plan in this situation? How do we want to win games?
Yeah.
And are we able to then win when we have to adapt away from that in a game, right? Yeah. If we have to make adjustments. For me, I think a really big thing is it would be really helpful for us if we played to our strengths. What we are better at than the rest of the world. So for me, the things we still have an advantage of, you know, over, one, I think it is our speed. Mm-hmm. I think we are faster than a lot of the world. Just because of where our players tend to come from. currently in the other sports. They tend, they also tend to play multiple sports.
Right.
So I think that, I still think we're strong, though I don't think it, we dominate in that way anymore. But for me, it is speed and it is endurance, right? Like those are our advantages. I think we need to couple that speed with on-ball skill. And I also think that that comes back to what is our youth system going to be, which is at a crossroads. Our pipeline is clogged. We have a pay-to-play system, which is incredibly exclusionary. And the very talent you need to keep up with the world, you keep out of football because they can't afford it.
Right.
So I think we really have to have a come to Jesus moment and a reckoning about how we unclog that pipeline, whether it is investing in those academies and lower league soccer, whether it is whatever the hell we're going to do with the NCAA and all this realignment and everything else has made chaotic, whether it is reconsolidating youth soccer and not splitting it into two warring factions. It all involves getting the abuse out, which that we haven't even tackled yet. So forget your pipeline. Players are also leaving because they're tired of being yelled at, touched, and not heard. Right. So I think we have a lot of reckonings, and not everything's going to get fixed overnight, obviously. But I think one of the things that, that coach can do, whoever they may be, is identify where we have the advantages.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's defensively and an attack with our speed. I think we're pressing monsters. Can we please get back to pressing?
Right. Can we, why were we not pressing in the World Cup? I'm not going to go
there. What is the point of having Alyssa Thompson and Trinity Robin on your pitch if you're not going to press? What is the point? Those kids can press all day. They want to.
Yeah, and I do it in league. You stared at it every week, bruh. What are you doing?
What is the point of having a 19-year-old and a 20-year-old on your team if you're not pressing?
Yeah, and pressing, and they do it well, and then they can go attacking, like, kill people. Like, what are we? Why are we?
And they can hit on the counter. They're good on the ball. They have vision. Like, they're not afraid of anyone. Come on, y'all.
I was going to say, whoever the coach is needs to embrace creativity.
We need to find creative players.
Yes, but then also for who exists and how they do play, don't try to bullshit. So your system needs to be adaptable and welcoming to whatever the creativity that does exist. But yeah, mm-hmm. welcome people that don't you haven't seen before. So
yes,
I don't want to hear like back in the day when Kristen Presser first appeared, you didn't know what to do with her, but she was out here balling and tearing up another league and tearing up your league locally. That she wasn't included into the system till later, or you don't know what to do with a Crystal Dunn, or right. we're explaining and making excuses of why Lynn Williams didn't appear in the system. You got too much incredible talent that is kind of new, or you got a Katerina Macario, for example. We can't be struggling to figure out how to utilize her because you haven't adapted your system. Like, we're going to have to be grown-ups and be professional about the game planning. What?
So I will say this. And to be fair, I don't think most coaches in general know what to do. But you might benefit from finding somebody who knows how to use a false nine.
Oh, that would be very nice.
Might be helpful. Build around the talent. Build around, like, everybody's great, but that one's special.
Yeah.
Macario's special. Like, you supposed, there's a reason we fudged that paper. Oh, we're not supposed to. Oh. Expedited the paperwork. Expedited the paperwork. It's legal.
Yeah, that paperwork real quick. Man, that was faster than what happens in Miami.
Never moved that fast in their life.
Man, that's happened. That was faster than what happened with Cubans coming to the United States. What?
I didn't know we could expedite paperwork.
I didn't know. I didn't know the immigration system moved that quick. Boy, but yeah. You got to figure out because you got too much incredible talent. Like I always say, people think I'm being ridiculous and arrogant. I'm like, no, the U.S. still can whip that ass, but you got to have the right coach to be able to put the players into place to do it. And they got to have a game plan,
The U.S. to me. So I think women's soccer is very much entering, especially on the international level, that sort of women's college basketball era we're in now, right? Where there are a lot of very good teams who will win multiple things, but there's not a dominant team.
Right.
There's not a Tennessee or a UConn or a UNC or whoever anymore. It's a lot more equitable because here, I think Spain's a very good team. I think Spain has a dummy amount of youth talent. And I don't think Spain was the best team throughout that tournament.
Right.
I don't think Japan beating Spain was a fluke.
Yeah, that was real.
I don't think the best team won the World Cup. Rest in peace, Japan. Basically, I'm still sad about it. I'm still
like,
sad
they
about
had
it.
One bad game and literally and almost came back and fucked around and won.
Right,
and I guarantee
they still
you
pulled that game off.
And I guarantee if they played Spain again, they would have whipped that ass.
Oh yeah, so
that's
most
why.
Definitely.
So that's why the best team that win. But we're in an era, like you said, it's not dominant. But you got to come with your P's and Q's because, like again, Japan was the best team, but they had one bad game and went
that's
home.
That's all it takes. Exactly, So you gotta be on it. And so I think the U.S. will always be competitive. I think we'll always get close. I think we'll win a few, but I think the era of where we're just dominant and we can will ourselves over the line and all of this other stuff is gone. It's about the football now. Like,
you gotta
be good at the football now.
Yeah. You're willing, willing has to come with in tandem with football. So y'all gonna have to will together and get on the, I'm gonna have to see boards on the sideline with the little magnets. We're gonna have to get the whiteboard and be figuring it out. Yeah. You're gonna have to have, you're gonna have to just fish lock a maneuver necessary 15 minutes in.
Want a coach?
Shit. Does she like the beaches? My bad. Does she like the beaches of the United States? National state. Because, her football mind's incredible. Yeah like, you need, like, stuff like that. Actually, I mean, I could even give you my list of coaches who I think.
I'm nervous to pick just because I don't know everything that's out there, first and foremost, because I don't get to watch soccer everywhere.
I mean, I can give my thought.
I mean, yeah, I think there's some people that people have in mind.
I mean, I have a thought. So I think this is the wild card to the situation. So they don't have, I thought about it. I was like, they got a cycle. So the problem is these players can be their own brand. So we're in the era where they don't have to be on a national team because they have to.
Right.
I always tell people, like I said, I think this is this last episode. The U.S. Women's National Team, NWSL, is going to enter an era like the NBA. So you literally saw the NBA a couple days ago lose in the World Cup. My bad.
The FIBA, the men, the NBA
went out there and they lost in the World Cup and they got beat by Canada. So Dylan Brooks put
39 points. They let Dylan Brooks drop 39.
And LeBron James got hot pissed and
he saw
like,
that and said no.
We're gathering the NBA Avengers and we're gonna beat that ass in Paris.
Kobe. He was like, I'm tired of watching y'all lose. Man.
Yeah. So
nah, fam.
That's similar. I said the NBA is very similar to NWSL. Where you have a godlike league, but now you're at a place as money comes that players don't have to play on your national team to get notoriety, like in the NBA. Like, they don't have to play on the basketball team. They pick and choose. Like, you got to beg players to go. You got to have good coaching. You're going to need that here at some point, so you're going to have to figure it out. But I think in this cycle, because the World Cup was so bad, you can't have players looking stupid. You can't have players not playing. You can't not know. We can't have multiple interviews of players talking about, I know what the hell was going on. I was told one thing, that wasn't one thing. I did all this training. You can't have that foolishness. So you got to get right in the Olympics. You may not win because, like, it's going to be a bloodbath. It's going to be exciting. You're going to be seeing some exciting shit in France. But you need to get ready so that when you get to the World Cup, they're competitive. Whether or not they win the trophy because it's like a war, it's a bloodbath, whatever. But you need somebody who has a plan. And so I think I see three.
Okay.
Potentials.
Okay. If you have them, share them with the class. I really don't know.
So I'm thinking they're in a dire situation. And if they're waiting for December, they must have some people in mind.
Yeah.
So it must be people who understand the current set of players that are in the pool, who you've seen be able to adapt and change in talent and adaptability, and who have done this already. So is it really three or is it two? Or is it three and that's a reach? Okay, so, and she said no. Maybe it's four. Okay, here we go. So, Serena said nah, but let's see if the FA pays her. But then, I don't know. Is she really paying attention to the talent? Maybe she is, maybe she's not. The other one would be Emma Hayes, but Emma Hayes ain't leaving. That God-tier job she got.
Not after she got all those players, nah.
She's not leaving.
At least not yet.
So then it's two then really who if you're going to wait this late, you're about to pick between the two. So I'm thinking Laura Harvey or Tony from who's coaching.
Oh, you think Gustafson is in there?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because it's a matter of You need to be able to understand the player. Everybody forgets Australia was terrible. Like, we used to crack jokes of how chaotic a game would be. How much would the U.S. or whoever the fuck plays them beat the shit out of them? To they beat France in freaking penalty kicks. They could have won if Sam Kerr's healthy the whole tournament. Maybe they lift the trophy. What? This Australia that was chaos almost was lifting a World Cup trophy, y'all. So
he's doing that with fairly limited talent, The A-League's growing, but they're not there yet.
Right. And like, you were tripped off about missing Alana Kennedy. What? If I said told you that 4 years ago, you'd be like, who?
Right.
What? Yeah, what? They won without Sam Kerr. Like, what? But in the short term, it could very well be Laura Harvey, because she's played with all these players. She's coached them. And she does this all the time on the fly. Like, again, y'all ain't won championships because players ain't kicking balls into the net. For whatever reason, we're allergic to the net. That's what they need to be doing on a break. I hope. All right. I love y'all. Y'all need to be kicking balls in the net, shawty.
But we got her. I'm not. We'll deal with that at the end of the show.
But yeah.
Got a lot of hurt right now.
I'm sorry. But Laura Harvey, because her ability to see things and change things, how she communicates, she does the adaptability, whatever. Right. Throws out crazy ass game plans that you're like, what the hell are they doing? You need that kind of person who can do stuff in game. You know, Jess Fish like might fall on the floor and then they come out with a different formation. I ain't saying that she not hurt, but I'm just saying there are plans in place.
Tactical injury, yes.
There's tactical things that adjustments that happen. She knows most of the pool. She worked with most of the pool. I think people are giving her a bad rap on in terms of coaching stuff, but if I remember correctly, they were in the middle of a World Cup that ended because of the pandemic. So we never got to see what that talent could be.
Yeah.
And I think they finally had gotten it together and they could have fucked around and won. Yeah. So we don't know, but you can see the ability to coach, adaptability. Other than that, I'm not sure. It depends on who's out there.
Yeah. I think a few things. One, I think you're rarely going to get U.S. soccer hiring somebody outside of the system. That's just not
what
they do, for better or for worse. They hire the same kind of coach pretty much every time. Having said that, I think there are a few possibilities. However, I think those coaches are probably going to go club, because I would at this point. It's more stable. And I think, and I don't know if this is controversial for U.S. fans, I don't think everybody wants this job.
Yeah, that part.
It's not the best job available.
Yeah.
Brazil's taken. I'd much rather have the Brazil job.
Yeah. But yeah, so that might have saved y'all asses. Because, the Brazil job got ate up. And then, oh boy, he did what needed to be done and brought in people who needed to be coming in. Cristiani. But anyway.
I know. I was like, oh, snap. Is that Cristiani's music?
I'm like, wow. Man, I don't know if I'd be trying to go to Olympics, man. They're going to be going for heads, boy. Because now Carolyn can actually play up front. But anyway, I was going to say, because the pool is so limited in the sense that people ain't, clamoring for this shit. Y'all already got to do Jodeci begging, please, to show. Because I'm like, who are y'all trying to impress and tell them, we bring it in all the talent. Who are you trying to impress? Because, that's the thing. Are you going to be ready to give whatever coach the control to do what needs to be done? Because, they got shit to figure out. So whoever it is must have a game plan. They must have already had their PowerPoint presentation.
I know they were traveling to go meet with candidate or something. So, clearly there's a pool.
Yeah.
There's people that they like that they're trying to visit. I'm with you. I really hope they're able to lay out a strategic short-term and long-term plan.
Yeah.
For this team, for the talent that they've seen. What I would say to U.S. soccer is, and I'd say this to NWSL teams too, scouting, a minimal amount of investment in scouting goes a long way.
Yep.
And you have, the reason the U.S. will be competitive always in part is because we just have an oversized talent pool.
Yes.
You have an obscene amount of human beings to pick from. And so it really is about what your vision is and then plugging those people in.
Yeah.
As we see fit. Having said that, at least we're looking at people that we weren't looking at before or that we had stopped looking at. And if I may make an argument for one additional player, I feel like Sarah Gordon should get a look.
Yeah, she should get a look.
I feel like if you gave me Naomi Garment and Sarah Gordon, I might actually cry real tears.
Ain't nothing going past them. Woo, that'd be sexy. Y'all ain't stopping none of that. Woo!
That'd be a phenomenal center back pairing. But okay.
Actually, that'd be fun. And then I would want them to see a stack, certain stack teams, because I'm like, both of them can take on three players. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? So then nobody would be overwhelmed and everybody can go live and be great.
It would be great.
And then you don't have to have a six doing 50 billion things. Jesus.
You don't.
But
one day, they will want nice things. Probably not today.
But yeah.
Want nice things, so.
But yeah, I think, yeah, whoever, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But I think they got an idea. We'll see who is going to be though. But they got a task ahead of them.
And so obviously, like you said, yeah, December, we should have a coach in place. And I said, they've got January ID camp, February window, which is the first Gold Cup, if I'm not mistaken.
Ooh. Oh yeah. 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 My bad.
There's no, She Believes this year.
No, She Believes. Who Believe? Whoever we believe.
I believe it's that we gold. Will win. Oh, well,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh no, yeah, they ain't no believing. We got to figure out a Gold Cup name. They got the bling bling. The bling bling. Oh shit, bling bling. We got the bling bling cup. Bling bling. Yeah, that's probably gonna be chaotic.
That's
as fuck.
The most millennial answer to that question ever. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I just showed my age on that one. That's fine.
We in the club. That's what's happening. But.
It wasn't in Delaware in 2003. I was in Delaware in 2003. What are you talking about? Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
That was wild.
It was definitely playing in Delaware in 2003.
And by the way, if you listen to In the Club, people were saying the whole verse. And yeah, my bad.
Go, Shawty, it's your birthday. Is the battle?
Yeah, that used to, like, it used to be fire. Like, what? I don't even know what y'all talk about. And people would rap the whole verse. And even still now, it would shut down the party.
Right. People, like, okay. All right. Whatever. I don't. All right.
Hey, what? Cool. Okay. My bad.
I'm old. It's fine. Whatever.
But yeah, they tripping. Anyway, but yeah, the Gold Cup. That's gonna be fun. So we don't got to see She Believes.
No,
we about to believe in the bling. We got them bling bling bling. And that's gonna be a hot ass mess.
I believe we're inviting CONMEBOL. So like it's Brazil and Colombia.
Yeah, and it's somebody else. It's crazy. Alex had listed it. It's crazy.
Mexico's in it. Oh, this is gonna be fun.
Yeah,
also,
it's
Mexico's a sleeping giant, dude.
Wait. I think they invited Japan. It's crazy.
Yeah,
the Gold Cup's crazy because they invited some different nations.
If people would like to sponsor Shea Butter FC to cover the Gold Cup 2024, it is the first one. but also it's about to be
it's bananas. It's real. It's gonna be real lit. It's a really wild cup because I know people initially like, but the teams that they invited, I think they're
thinking of the men's Gold Cup, and I'm like, yeah, that's not the same.
Yeah, this is gonna be people gonna be fighting. People might beat somebody up with a cup. It's gonna be CONCACAF and CONMEBOL and whoever the hell else.
Yeah,
woo! Y'all ain't ready.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really exciting. But yeah, I think that's good preparation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the kind of tournament we probably need more of.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's not gonna be for the faint of heart, y'all. Like, Gold Cup's gonna be serious. So. Yeah, I think we're excited about that. But really, having a coach, that's going to be their first major tournament, basically.
Yep.
And there's a lot of different styles of play there that they're going to have to adapt to. So I'd be very interested to see how much work they're able to get in and what they're able to do. That also presumes that, obviously, injured players will be back by then.
Ooh.
I don't believe it till I see my line on Kat and Chris is I ain't going to believe nothing until I see him kick a ball. But okay. Presumably, Kat Vicario will be back. Mel Swanson is running. She'll be back.
Sam,
I don't know when Sam Yost is coming back from war, but God, do we miss her?
Yeah.
And there's other injured players out there as well. So I think really waiting to see what that'll look like. I think that'll tell a lot of tales, like that January ID camp, and also who's called up for that Gold Cup roster.
Yeah, that's gonna be crazy.
I forgot to mention Tudor Davidson got called back up as well.
Right. So she exists. What? Look at her.
Yeah.
Look.
Yeah. Well, I know she was pissed, but all right.
I've been fighting. But anyway, yeah, that you got a bunch of people. It's gonna be interesting, even if they decide, okay, even for like the Gold Cup, if they even have like a mini camp where even if people don't make necessarily the roster just to see what people are looking like.
And to compete. For their spots.
Oh my. Competition?
A competition.
Not blessed.
So invite all the people you can and see what happens.
Right. So basically.
Novel concept.
I will say this. Some veterans, even some newbies, may not be suited up and booted up in the next year. I'm just saying it might get real where, because you got to compete to go beat.
Right, and I think that's, again, that very delicate balance of, oh my God, we have to have some answers. It's an Olympic year. We qualified. And also, I think competition's healthy. I think that is one of the things that made the U.S. great.
I mean, I even think in this upcoming camp, you got a bunch of forwards. Mm-hmm. And you introduced some people.
Everybody can't suit up.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, you got some. I was like, ooh, this is gonna be fun. Can we get in camp video?
Oh yeah, right. Can we get that? Remember when England did the scrimmage against each other and nobody? I want that tape for the U.S. I want that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be really interesting, right? And so, I'm looking forward to it. I really don't have a coaching name in mind. I think I have more of a profile. But we'll see. I think it'll be a woman.
Yeah, I do think so.
I think it'll be a woman.
So y'all might be looking for a new coach. Anywho, I was also gonna say, I would like to see Crystal Dunn in the midfield. I mean, what you're doing.
Yeah.
I see what y'all are doing in this called up roster. I was staring at the midfield. I see what you're doing.
It's our thinnest line.
Yes, it is.
It's our thinnest line.
But again, like, I see what they're,
we don't have a lot of young midfield talent.
But I see what they're doing. Because I was like, I see who you brought in.
But also, Jane Shaw is a midfielder. She's a 10.
Oh, that would be sick. Yo, actually. Jane Shaw's a 10. So then I think I see what they're doing. Because keep in mind, you brought in Casey Kruger and Tierna Davison.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to lose center back Julie Ertz. I'm sorry.
Center back slash whatever. Choice.
So I was like, I looked at that. I was like, that's a lot of defenders. Is Crystal Dunn going to finally get put in the midfield?
I will cry tears of joy.
And then I was like, that's a lot of fucking forwards. Are we going to put Jaden Shaw in the midfield and see what it looked like?
Yeah, I my feelings on that have been made. Like, she's a goal-scoring midfielder. She's a 10. We need her creativity and her playmaking.
Yeah,
like, I would like to see particularly it. With no Cat and Mal.
Yes.
So, yeah. We'll see.
Oh, Lord, I forgot about Mal. She's running.
She is running on grass.
But yeah, that's it. We'll talk more as stuff happens. Stay tuned. There might be things.
Yes.
Let's see. World updates.
So yes, obviously, since the last time we recorded, there's been some changes. Saying world updates, I believe it was Serbia. I cannot remember which women's team it was, but there's yet another report of an abusive culture.
Because Slovenia,
it's an S country. I can't remember which one it is. Forgive me. I'll make sure I retweet it. I think I retweeted it at some point, so you can check my timeline. But just it seems like every week there's reports. Obviously, also still keeping in mind Zambia and everything they went through at the World Cup and continue to go through after the World Cup. But obviously, the big news has been since the World Cup, and obviously with them winning the World Cup, Spain, and everything that's going on with their federation. Since the last time we have recorded, the entire coaching staff essentially resigned, except for Jorge Vilda. And since that time, Jorge Vilda has been fired. I'm sorry, he was able to resign.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Rubiales also has finally resigned, both from his position as president of the RFEF and as vice president of UEFA. This was after him being suspended for, I believe, 60 days or 90 days by the federation. Keep in mind, this is the same federation that said Jenny Hermoso said things that she did not say. And a group of people who threatened her and her family to follow their narrative and not her truth. Jenny Hermoso is back in Mexico. She went home to Heroes Welcome. And they're very much wrapping her in love and making sure she's good and supported, which is always what we want. Also in Spain, the league players went on strike, so there was no football in Spain for the women this weekend. So they missed the first week of their season. The strike ended today, actually. Demands were met. There's still work to be done, but you can go. I know Alex, Abateca, am I saying that right? And others who have really done a good job of covering Spain have all of the latest information on what the agreements were for the strike. So you can find that online. And I believe like you can find it on Meg Linehan's page and things like that as well. So there's been a lot of movement in Spain. Obviously, still a ton of work to do. The current coach of Spain was on Vilda's staff, and so it does not seem like the players have any animus toward her, but they are also not currently playing in this window, right? You had 80-plus players sign their name to a petition saying they would not play until things were fixed, and despite both resignations, they have not come back. So we will see what that looks like. Yeah, and so, but I would like to say maybe winning does help.
Yeah.
I don't think that they get this. I don't think it should take that. And I do not think that those who chose not to play made the wrong decision. But I also do think, unfortunately, in women's sports, and in women's soccer in particular, winning is usually the catalyst for people acknowledging your worth that was already and there. And so that's a messed up way to do it, but I also do not think this happens if they do not win. So we'll see. We'll see what everything looks like going forward for them. As always, just safety and power to the player. So that's my update.
So let's see. So I guess we're going to hits and roughs. You can go first.
How kind of you.
Hold on. Look, I can go first because I wasn't. I'm going to pull from a. What kind of playlist is this? We're going to pull from a.
Is this for the children? No.
It is a for the children list. It's actually a. What do you call this? It's a house hip hop playlist. It's a hip hop house playlist. If you didn't know, house techno are black music derived of hip hop out of Detroit and Chicago. That is a nice lesson for y'all. It's not that oomph off the beat. Give me drugs music. It's fine. So there's actually, I love the sergeants of hip hop house, not just what Beyonce did, but hip hop house and stuff. I used to break. I'm forever a B-girl. And so this is life. But anywho, let me see. This is a pretty dope playlist. But anywho, I Will Beg by Latik. Oh, featuring PM. Then The Drum by Hagen. Jola. Featuring by De Matata. I ain't saying all these people's names. And then Space Dance by Vilio Sol. Dope playlist. Maybe I'll show y'all this playlist. Nah, my friend.
Would share it with the children. Is that what we're?
I don't know. If I don't know if I can share this playlist. I don't know if this is a public playlist, but it's dope. Let's check it out. Oh yeah, check out the if you're in LA, check out all the little. It's a bunch of black and queer hip hop house situations that happen all the time. So they out there. I'm probably leak some in the notes, but yeah, that's mine. What are yours?
We call it sharing. I don't think I have a four song. That's wild. That's okay. Okay, so mine are it's an R&B mood. So for me, sometimes I cry. Eric Benet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's messy, but good. Conga. I want Miami Sound Machine version.
Wait, that's wrong song.
What?
That's the wrong song.
All good. I felt the spirit of it though.
Yeah, my bad. I'm sorry, Gloria.
Oh man.
I know the Miami Sound Machine. Don't play me. Y'all don't play me. There's okay.
I'm not the one who sang that chord.
Yeah, that was totally wrong. That was definitely Luther Vandross. But go ahead.
Luther Vandross. Yo, but he was singing though. Pop, yo, T.O. was killing it with the vocals. He could sing. I was like, okay, I wasn't prepared. Okay, and then obviously been on a Victoria Monet kick. Like I said, I've been in an R&B mood, and I think she's trying her best to bring it back. She's trying.
Yeah,
I got Smoke with Victoria Monet featuring Lucky Day, obviously, and then I also have Party Girls with Buju Banton. So those are the two, but check out the whole album. I think it's great. But like I said, I'm in a bring R&B back mode. I think her and Coco and a few others are really doing a good job of that.
Word.
All right. So that was Hits and Riffs.
Yes. So
before we do shout outs, any rants?
No.
Any raves? I have, I guess, a few raves. One, we are recording during them, but the WNBA playoffs have started. So you have the number one seed, Las Vegas Aces, are playing the 8 seed, Chicago Sky, Liberty are the 2 seed, and they are playing the Mystics. The Connecticut Sun are the 3rd seed. They're playing Minnesota Lynx. And the 4 or 5 matchup is the Dallas Wings and the Atlanta Dream. Sky, do you have any predictions?
Whoever is healthy and whoever decides to show up. That's all I got.
I guess this is on record. If I were going to pick an upset, I think the Mystics could sneak the Liberty if they're healthy.
I'm not going to say nothing.
Okay. I think they could. I don't know if they will. Because I don't want to get yelled at by the 2 fan bases. Okay.
I'm not going to cause World War 3. But
that's the series to, like, well, no, that Dallas Atlanta series is also going to be very fun, but I don't consider 4 or 5 upset, like, territory. No. But that Mystics Liberty series to me, the other two are kind of like,
it was important to win the first seed because the Mystics are a matchup.
It's definitely the easier road
because the Mystics are a matchup nightmare. Because
if they're healthy, I know Austin is out, so that might save the Liberty, but yeah. It's her hip, so she's not playing in game 1, but that doesn't mean she's out the whole series.
But Elena Deladon,
healthy? Yeah, it's still one of the best players I've ever seen.
Is here and ready to do what needs to be done.
So
she said she was getting through this season to play in the playoffs. So
yeah.
She missed some games, but she's here.
And so that's a team that's won a championship, right? So they know what it takes. They have a decent amount of those core pieces still with them because it wasn't that long ago that they won. I think the Mystics are always a tough out. When they're, especially like I said, when they're healthy, and they seem to be mostly healthy at this point. I think the Sun are very good. Obviously, I think Alyssa Thomas has had a dynamite year with all the other triple doubles and what she's contributed. And obviously, it's a 3-person race between her and Asia and Stewie. I think everybody's kind of clamoring for more New York LA, though I think all of those games have been blowouts. And so I don't know if that's the matchup you want the most, but.
I don't think it's going to happen like that.
I don't know if both of those teams make it. I really don't. And it's unpredictable, right? Anybody in the W can win any day, and there's a lot of talent. But expand your rosters, expand your teams.
Right. Like, do it next year because you need to. That's a whole other side note.
And then, obviously, shout out to the good sis. Our collective niece, Coco Gauff, on her first major title, U.S. Open, doing it at home. Everything she did, everything she said, I loved it. She said, I want to thank my haters. So shout out to her. She real online. And she gets it. I think she's a star. I think she gets it. I think she might end up being the biggest athlete Gen Z has. So certainly in America. So I think this is the first of many for her. And it is wonderful to see the legacy that Althea and Venus and Serena have left on the game. So, yeah. That's what happens when you have a blueprint.
I did have a rave. Shout out to my mama for retiring.
Tell her favorite, say hey.
Okay, y'all can stop this shit. Oh, yeah, you can buy popcorn. If you know me, you want to get some popcorn, buy some popcorn, support Fisk University. Anywho, that's HBCU.
Hi, Mom. Fave says hi.
Y'all gonna stop this shit. You gonna buy some popcorn. But yeah, she retired. She didn't tell nobody till the last minute, but she's retired, kind of, sort of. Anywho, congratulations.
Yes.
Much love. Cheers. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Go team. and then shout out to the Colorado Buffs for looking like a football team. American football in general. It's the first year I was like, this is chaos, but not in a bad way. So I actually like the sport again. And shout out to college football being peak chaotic. And the Pac-12 in their last year. Looking like a football team.
Wait, before we leave. Before we leave, I do have a rant.
Oh, Lord.
No, this is quit. Cougs versus everybody. Fuck the rest of you. Okay, I'm done.
Wow. And is on it? That well yeah because some yeah on well, the ACC now has like 2 extra members and I don't know how this is gonna work, but yeah, college football is gonna burn everything to the ground. But it was fun and chaotic. Shout out to all the teams that look like football teams. Shout out to everybody who beat the top of the table not top, Lord Jesus, the top of the rankings.
Wrong sport.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed Duke rushing the field.
That was hilarious.
My slight quick rant would be,
when Dabo loses, we all win.
Yeah, we all, like, y'all don't under, if you are not old enough to remember when Clemson sucks.
Clemsoning
is like peak shit.
It was not good.
Y'all, like, what happened, what's going with Clemson is what it used to be. So you cannot understand
most of my life.
You do not understand the hell anybody in the ACC, SEC has been living in this glory years of Clemson. This is not reality. We are now back to reality. We are also number 98.
Good and Clemson is best. Yes,
we are best in 1998 because Miami's good, FSU's good, right. Deion Sanders is a legend, and right. all kind of shit is happening. And it's like, what the fuck is going on? And yeah, Clemson
it's the
sucks.
90s again.
Yeah, it's the 90s again. In the 1930s, because you got Duke being a football team, not just a basketball school. So,
right.
And you
well, hey, Germany's a basketball country now, so what do we know?
Well, yeah. Well, shit. We are in an upside-down world.
Yes, we're upside-down world.
What the fuck is happening? But, yeah, it was fun. NFL was wild. The Falcons are running a triple option. That is not okay. Please stay out of my mentions, y'all.
Okay, it's Falcons time. Didn't y'all win, though?
We ran the triple option.
But did you win?
We ran the triple option.
Okay, all right.
And we have good receivers.
I want y'all to know this is what happens to me every week. I don't care. And then I get the longest text in the world.
It's going to be the
longest text in the world. And that's
all
right there.
You got Riddler looking like the black Ryan Tannehill. I said what I said. You can get emotional if that's your quarterback. I don't care. Because he lost to the freaking Saints. Anywho.
All right.
We bring it back.
It you good?
I'm good. Yeah.
You got it out? All right.
But kudos to the football. Looking like football. Kudos to everybody.
Listen, ACLs always suck.
Right.
I don't wish them on anybody. But Jets fans, tremendous content. Like, just, that was hilarious.
Wait,
like,
that was Achilles.
It's the most Jets thing ever. Like, everything well,
he
about
he
what happened.
He tore his Achilles.
But everything that oh, it's oh, yeah, Achilles, that was not an ACL? Okay.
Yeah, but it is the most Jets thing. Yeah, like, that's a, did y'all have like a curse? Is it like a,
I don't know what's going on.
Is it a incantation? Because that was the most flukiest thing. Also say, if somebody has a calf sprain, take it seriously. Yeah, the Achilles thing, yeah, that's gone. Wow. I can't believe, I was tripped out that happened. That was wild.
So it's Achilles, not ACL?
Yes, Achilles, yeah.
I mean, you'll still be out for this season.
Yeah, that's he's out, yeah, injury, for sure. Yeah. It's a long injury. But yeah.
Wow. Four plays, man. That's wild.
Yeah. So hopefully he can come back. You can see it next season. But
they're on TV so much, too, apparently. That's hilarious. Okay. You get to watch Zach Wilson on TV.
But I do think you could always call Colin Kaepernick. He down the street.
No one's calling. That's the problem. No one is calling Colin Kaepernick. And you just had a lawsuit filed by that former reporter where it says Pula told him to go back. If they want a coach, go back to Africa. I'm like, wow. I mean, we know what the NFL is. It's not.
Do we think there's no secret. Is this going to. Yeah. Is he going to be able to put everything on blast? Are they going to get past discovery? I don't think he's trying to go for a settlement. I'm thinking he's taking them to court.
That's what it's going to take, honestly. It's going to take a losing a lawsuit.
Yeah, I think he's going to drag them into court. That's going to be wild. NFL's
going
to fight.
That's what happened with the, honestly, and it's like, look, it's not on the scale. We're not talking about sexual abuse, but the Catholic Church didn't have a change of heart. They lost the lawsuit. The Boy Scouts didn't have a change of heart. They lost the lawsuit. Yeah. Like, you're going to have to lose a lawsuit. So
we can talk about that. But I think Trotter is about to take them all the way to court. And then, because he is, like, on a mission. The worst thing you could ever do if you're oppressing people is to decide you're going to do that nonsense and then think it's not going to blow up. You're going to piss off the wrong person who got the time and energy, and they're going to burn your shit down to the ground. And that's basically probably what's about to happen to the NFL.
Well, could happen to a better organization, honestly. They deserve to rot, honestly, as an organization.
Oh, Cowboys, you might get free of your owner. Anywho. No, we're going to wrap it up. Shout out to all the 2 cents, everybody, anybody, everybody we know.
Yes. Shout out to the entire 2 cent family. Shout out to our sponsors, Carolyn Nettles, Gal Pal Sports. Check out Gal Pal's latest episode of Football's Wife. There's too many people in 2 cents, but y'all know we love y'all. Shout out What else we got?
We got stuff maybe coming up. I think we've been on break. Life has been lifing. We will get into that later. But the great Nubia has been ill. However, is feeling better.
Well, homie. Keep an eye out. Also, mark your calendars. We don't have any official announcements yet, but look for us during championship weekend.
Well. Yes, we will be in San Diego.
We'll be out here in San Diego.
Yes, we will be
doing some things.
Yeah, and there may be something before then if you're in LA. We will see. But what are we gonna do? In between time, we're gonna stay hydrated.
Stay melanated.
And we're gonna make sure the black women in your life are celebrated.
And make sure your shea butter bombs are always elevated.
All right, stay blessed and stay fresh. Go to games, watch games.
Yes.
And stay in the car. Wash yourselves. Get your COVID vaccine. Drink water.
Get boosted. Stay safe out here. COVID is not gone.
Yes, it's just started. All right, y'all. Peace.
Peace.